Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 15 to 27, illustrating Israel's great pain from God's wrath. When God disciplines man for sin, his discipline is very painful, that it might produce the desired repentance. Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 15 to 27, provides an illustration of this truth, and we view this passage for our insight. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into his word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us to meet around the Word of God. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God, who is the author of Scripture, who carried men of the Old Testament along as they wrote the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit also illumines the Word of God to us and also equips us to live the Word as we rely upon Him by faith. We ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the text and then wisdom also to apply it in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read the passage before we get into it tonight. Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 15 through 27. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shall thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead, bind the tire or the turban of your head upon you, and put on your shoes or sandals upon your feet, and cover not the lower part of your face, which was a typical practice in mourning, and eat not the bread of men. So I spoke unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. And the people said unto me, Wilt thou not tell us what these things are to us that thou doest so? Then I answered them, The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Speak unto the house of Israel, and thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will profane my sanctuary, the excellency of your strength, the desire of your eyes, and that which your soul pitieth. And your sons and your daughters whom you have left shall fall by the sword. And you shall do as I have done. You shall not cover your lips, which is the lower part of your face, nor eat the bread of men. And your turban shall be upon your heads, and your shoes or sandals upon your feet. You shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another. Thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign. According to all that he hath done, shall you do. And when this cometh to pass, you shall know that I am the Lord God. Also thou son of man, shall it not be in that day when I take from them their strength, the joy of their glory, the desire of their eyes, that whereupon they set in their minds their sons and their daughters, that he that escapeth that day shall come unto thee to cause thee to hear it with thine ears. In that day shall thy mouth be opened to him which is escaped, and thou shalt speak and be no more dumb, and thou shalt be a sign unto them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, God made Ezekiel a moving illustration of the painful shock his fellow Hebrew captives would experience at the fall of Jerusalem and God's judgment, the destruction of their beloved temple and their children. A lot of these people had left and been taken captive to Babylon, and the children had been left behind. So they still have family back there. This is a big deal. Well, after God's prophet in Ezekiel 24, 1 to 14 had announced that the Babylonian army had begun its siege of Jerusalem, the Lord told Ezekiel that he was going to take the delight of his eyes, Ezekiel's wife, away from him in death with a blow, that is to take her life very suddenly. We don't know what this was. It could have been an aneurysm. It could have been a sudden stroke. But anyway, it was a very rapid death that she had. Now, regardless of the intense shock of such event, Ezekiel was not to mourn or weep, not to let tears run down from his eyes, but to sigh silently, to perform no public mourning act for the dead. Rather, he was to bind on his turban, put on his sandals, not cover the lower part of his face, nor eat any food. Highly unusual behavior for a man who had just tragically, suddenly lost his beloved wife. Accordingly, Ezekiel informed the people of Israel in captivity in the morning about this prediction from the Lord. And that evening, his wife died. You know, you talk about the sufferings of the prophets of old. These were great men to go through with this situation. And in obedience to the Lord, Ezekiel behaved in the unusual manner that God had directed in the next morning. When his wife died and was being buried, a time when all other Hebrews would openly express their deep grief at such a great personal loss, Ezekiel was restraining himself. His remarkably unusual behavior in the face of his great personal tragedy obviously produced the question from onlooking Hebrews as to what his behavior signified. And God's prophet replied that the word of the Lord had come to him, telling him to explain to the Hebrew captives in Babylon that God was about to destroy what they held dear, similar to how the Lord had taken Ezekiel's beloved wife in death. God would profane his temple in Jerusalem, the pride of their power, the delight of their eyes, the yearning of their soul, letting the Babylonian soldiers destroy it. And he would cause their sons and daughters in Jerusalem to fall by the sword of the Babylonians. This is all in Ezekiel 24, verses 20 and 21. Now, so shocking would this be, this great destruction, that Ezekiel's fellow Hebrew captives would do what he did. They would not cover the lower part of their faces, as was typical in mourning, nor would they eat food. Their turbans would remain on their heads and their sandals on their feet. They would not mourn or weep, but they would rot away in their iniquities and groan to each other with the realization that God had severely punished their nation for its sin. In this way, Ezekiel's experience in the tragic sudden loss of his wife would be a sign to his fellow Hebrews in captivity that just as he had done, they would do to the great shock they would experience. When this shock actually occurred, Ezekiel's hearers would realize that God was the Lord. It's tragic that it took something like this for them to realize that God was the Lord, but sometimes that's what has to happen. We have a great tribulation that is coming after the rapture of the church, and you talk about suffering that's going to go on. A third of the world will die with one particular plague, and then a third of the next third of the world would die, or a third of what's left, and so forth. Until the whole earth is going to be just a shambles. It's going to be a mess. And the Bible tells us, unless the Lord shortened those days, no flesh would live. But it's going to take that to get the attention of the world and for many people to come to Christ. Well, in verses 25 to 27, God also had made Ezekiel another very painful illustration of God's great judgment on Israel. On the day God would remove the stronghold of Ezekiel's fellow Hebrew captives, the temple of their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire, along with their sons and daughters, in 587 BC, a fugitive would come and report the news to him. When that happened, when the fugitive actually arrived, God would release his restraints on Ezekiel so that he could speak freely with his fellow Hebrew captives. Now, keep in mind that for 5 years, all the way back in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 25 to 27, back in 592 BC, for 5 years, God had restricted Ezekiel from speaking except when he gave God's messages to the people. You can imagine how difficult that would be. But the Lord apparently had supernaturally restrained him. He couldn't speak unless he opened his mouth just to speak the word of God. Let me just look at that. I'll go back. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 25, 26, and 27. This is God speaking to Ezekiel when he commissioned him. But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee and shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make your tongue cleave to the roof of your mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, that be silent. Thou shalt not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open your mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, He that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. So that's the way it had been. So this sudden release from his speaking restraint after 5 long years would be a sign to Ezekiel's fellow Hebrews that God had been behind his ministry all along. And they would then realize that the Lord who had been leading Ezekiel to give his messages was truly the Lord. You'll see that in the end of verse 27 of Ezekiel 24. And you will be a sign unto them. That's when he's able to speak. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Only God could keep a man restrained from speaking freely with other people for 5 years and then all of a sudden release him so he could speak with other people. And so they knew that God was behind his ministry, and this would be used to authenticate the credibility of Ezekiel's words to them. When Jerusalem actually fell, like he said, they would realize this is God's man, and then they would listen to him. It took that to listen, get them to believe. So the lesson is, in great pain, Ezekiel's sudden loss of his dear wife and his restraint in grieving for her illustrated the great pain that sinful Israel would experience under God's discipline for sin. Ezekiel's release from God's 5-year restraint in speaking freely with others would prove God had been behind his ministry and that the Lord was God. You know, there's another suffering that's involved in this. His own wife had witnessed for the last 5 years of her life her husband being unable to speak freely because the Lord had restrained him. And only when she died then he could speak freely. She never lived to see him speak freely again. You talk about suffering. These prophets of old, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they went through the fires, but they did it for the sake of God's people. So in application, number one, God's discipline is very painful. So may we confess any sin we harbor and forsake it. We just cannot afford to harbor sin. When I think about this coronavirus pandemic, and we're going to, in our Easter sermon, we're going to deal with how this is an act of discipline from the Lord. He's reaching out not only to the world, but he's reaching out to a very wayward evangelical church in our era. And he's not happy with a lot of what's going on. And so, you know, you think of, there are people who are dying. And this has caused fear and concern. It's taken the economy and put it in the skids and so forth. Well, God's discipline is painful because he doesn't like sin. So if we're harboring sin, boy, do we need to get rid of it. We need to confess it to the Lord. And then number two, if we serve the Lord, if while we serve the Lord, he arranges for us to be restricted in our functions in any way. Now, he may not cause us not to speak for 5 years freely and so forth, but there may be some other area in which we're restricted. May we realize that even that restriction fits God's plan to make us effective for him, that we keep on serving him regardless of the restriction itself. It's interesting, as I give this message, I'm here, it's in a prayer meeting, but we don't have a congregation here because a congregation is self-quarantined under recommendation of the government because of the pandemic. So the only one who's here is my wife. I'm speaking to her, she's my audience. But I know this is getting out by way of the recording to other people. So you talk about restriction, this is sort of it's a restriction on the congregation. It's a restriction on us, on our ministry, on my ministry. But nevertheless, it's for an effect. And it may be that as people listen to this on the MP3 recording and go through the lessons and they're pent up, they can't get out of their homes and so forth. Or maybe after the pandemic is over and we're through this time of self-quarantine and we look back on this time, maybe this message will have a different kind of an impact or more of an impact with somebody out there who may need the lesson. And because of that, the Lord is allowing this restriction to occur now. We don't know. All I know is that much like Ezekiel, God wants me, when he opens my mouth and gives me opportunity to speak. And in this situation, he's given me to speak and record this on the MP3 recording. So we're going with it. And when the recording turns off, and of course, I won't be able to speak. So be it. But if while we serve the Lord, he arranges for us to be restricted in our functions in any way, we need to realize that even that restriction fits the plan of God. And he's doing that to make us effective, that we keep serving him regardless of the restriction.